Before I start to speak, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you and ask that what would happen here would glorify your name. And Lord, if nothing else happens, Lord, here at Faith Baptist Church and over at Kenwood Community Church and the Church of the Apostolic Faith and Unity Christian Reformed Church and Maple Lawn Baptist Church and Kenwood Baptist Church, Lord, we pray that your kingdom would be built. And what we mean by that, Lord, is that your will would be done here on earth as it is already being done in heaven in our lives. And Lord, we pray for those who are concerned for your glory and your kingdom, but are also concerned about meeting daily needs, and who aren't sure how they're going to pay the rent this month, or who are nervous about the car payment, or nervous about the mounting credit card debt. Lord, I pray, give us this day our daily bread. And Lord, for those of us with heavy hearts, I pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. My grandpa does not drive new cars, but my grandpa's cars always look new. You know somebody like this? My grandpa does not pay to have his cars professionally detailed, but his cars look like they're professionally detailed. My grandpa doesn't pay for a lawn service, but his lawn looks like he pays someone. It looks like it's professionally taken care of. My grandpa doesn't pay a gardener, but his garden looks like a professional gardener takes care of it. I think I can say there's no laziness in my grandpa Iverson. I mean, do you know anybody like that? There's no laziness in my grandpa Iverson. And in a very, very minuscule, tiny way, that's like what we're going to read about God in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." As I said, minuscule, tiny, infinitely small, my grandpa has no laziness in him. Very tiny. In a small way, that's like saying there's no sin or darkness or impurity in God. God is perfectly pure, perfectly holy and just, and there is no sin whatsoever in him. Now, 1 John is a book about eternal life. And eternal life means eternal life means God eternally sharing himself with us in Jesus. It means a relationship with God. So, when we think about God being infinitely holy, God being completely pure, that means we have a couple options when it comes to having a relationship with him. And here's the first option in verse 6. So if you have your Bible open to 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with him..." Now, fellowship, remember, is like eternal life. It's having a relationship with God. "With him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." So what John is saying is, he's saying, how can you say you share in God? You have God the Holy Spirit living in you. You've been redeemed by Jesus while you walk in sin, while you keep on sinning. He's saying, how can you say you share in eternal life when you continually sin? He's saying, you need to stop lying. and confront reality. That's hypocrisy that God can see through. You need to deal with your sin, is what God is saying through John, the author here. Now, so the first option is hypocrisy. The second option is consistency. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 here. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. This is why I have helpers in the back there. Could I get my friend Brian, could I get you to turn off the lights here so we can see this light even better? Thanks. I know Brian's sitting back there. He's near it. Oh, hold on. I'm going to shine the light up there, and you guys are going to try to walk down in it. Okay. So Titus and Ezra are going to try to stay in the light, because we need to understand what it means to walk in the light. We'll talk about walking in darkness here in a minute. Go ahead and turn them off as soon as you get a chance, Brian. And so you can kind of watch them. Go ahead and turn them all off, because we're going to walk in the light all the way up. Okay, now try to help Ezzy stay in the light. Okay. Oh, get in the light. Okay. Stay in the light. Oof. Okay. Oh, help him up. Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, yeah. Can you come here, buddy? Come here. Stay in the light. Got to do Daddy's sermon illustration. Okay, that's all right. All right, we can have the lights. It didn't work. That's what I get for having a 1.5-year-old be part of a sermon. Yeah, okay. Thanks, man. Okay. What was supposed to happen here was I was supposed to be able to have the spotlight and have Titus help Ezra stay in the light as they walked up towards the front. That was what was supposed to happen. That's what I want us to see. That's the picture here of what's going on. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, what does walk in the light mean? So I just gave you a picture of it, of walking together in the light. What is the light? Like if you had to explain light to Leah, or you had to explain light to Caleb, or you had to explain light to someone else you know who's about that age, how would you explain light to them? What does this mean, walk in the light? Well, look back up one verse. Look back up at chapter 1, verse 5. And this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, what does darkness mean there? Now, what we gain from the rest of the Bible is darkness usually means sin. There's no sin in God whatsoever. And so what this is saying about light is the absence of darkness. Light, then, is God's truth and is God's character. As God stays within his character, God stays in character, if you will. God stays in the light that surrounds him in his holiness and draws us towards himself. So when we read in verse 7, if we walk in the light, that means if we stay within God's truth, or we stay following Jesus, if we stay within Jesus' teaching, in Jesus' way of living, then we are walking in the light, as he is in the light. So, like God stays in character, we stay within God's character when we're walking in the light. And I had them walk together here. I was planning to have them walk together and hoping Titus would kind of keep Ezra in the light, because this is something we do together. Look at all the we's here. Look at, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 first person plural pronouns, like we and us. There's 6 of them here in these couple verses. John wants us to know we wander in darkness, we go astray together, and we stay in the light together. This is something we do together. So he's asking us to choose. He's really telling us you really need to choose. you really have a couple options when it comes to responding to God's holiness. You can choose to lie. You can choose to say, I have fellowship with God. I share in a relationship with God while I continue to sin. And he says, if you do that, you're lying. And I was trying to think, what is this like? Like, how could I bring this home? The closest I can come, and this isn't probably great, but the closest I can come is if I say, Cheyenne and I are one. We're just alike. And then what would harm that is if, I'm going to use Cheyenne as the example, if Cheyenne loved spending money. I mean, those of you who know me know probably I'm, as I've said this before, I'm more fiscally conservative than the Amish. You know, I hate borrowing money. I hate it. You know, it's painful for me. Something dies when I have to spend money, except on running stuff. But other than, so I mean, I'm a hypocrite too. You know, I'll admit it. So if I'm super conservative financially and she's out blowing money, I'm just spending money like mad, which she doesn't do, by the way. But then I said, okay, we have perfect fellowship with each other. You'd know that's impossible. You'd know from your own life experience or from watching other people, you know that when one person wants to save money, the other one's spending money like mad, you can't have unity. You know that's not going to work. In a small way, that's like us saying to God, yes, I have a great relationship with God. I share in the Holy Spirit. I've been redeemed by Jesus. And continuing to live in sin. That can't work. It's not right. On the other hand, he's saying, or the other option is to walk in the light and stay within Jesus' commands. And then when you do that, when you come into the light, you come into fellowship with other people. Remember last week I showed you a clip from the first Lord of the Rings movie. It was called The Fellowship of the Ring. And we ask, what did the Fellowship of the Ring share? And remember the Fellowship of the Ring? I'm not going to be able to name them all because I'm a geek. I like running, but I'm not a geek that likes fantasy that much. So I'm not going to be able to name them. But all those hobbits and dwarves and elves, and they all shared in responsibility of getting Frodo to Mordor. There, I'm a little bit of a geek. They all shared in that responsibility. And when we come into the light, we share in God. We share in the light. We share in trying to stay within God's truth. So, what we can do, here are two options. When we say, God is completely holy. Okay, so that gives us two options. The first option is, well, I'm going to lie and say I have a relationship with him. I'm going to lie, but I'm going to continue living in sin. That's a lie. That's an option, though. The second option is, okay, I'm going to actually try to walk in God's light, stay within his truth. I'm going to try to follow Jesus, and I'm going to do that with the fellowship group. I'm going to do that together. Now, another option people might use is to say, but the problem is, I don't have any sin. You know, I'm sinless. You know, I'm perfect. People say that. You know, I don't think I'm really that bad. I haven't done that many bad things. Well, John addresses that. Chapter 1, verse 8 here. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here's the next two sets of options. The first one is, well, what some people do is they'll say, well, I can see how for some of you that are really bad, you'd need to confess your sin and walk in the light. But I don't have any sin. When Thor was a puppy, he had a paper fetish. He loved destroying, ripping up, tearing up paper. I mean, he just loved it. And if you left paper on the ground, you knew, or you found out later, that he had destroyed it. And we've kind of trained him out of that for the most part. But it was really, I remember one time we were sitting on the couch, and I don't remember what we were doing, but we heard some rustling in the bathroom. And we look, and there comes Thor running across from the bathroom all the way to his cage, running the length of the house with a toilet paper in his mouth. And he drags it right into his cage and hides where he can really tear that toilet paper up. You know, like, okay, they're not going to find me here. You know, he'd left the trail all the way through the house. And you think, okay, that's pretty foolish, Thor. I mean, you left your trail all the way through the house. But see, when we think we can sin and keep it a secret or keep it from God, that is every bit as foolish as Thor thinking he can drag toilet paper all the way through the house to his cage to rip it up. You're not going to hide it from God. There's no hiding your stuff and your issues from God. There's no hiding it. I mean, you can rationalize it. Maybe that's one of the options he had in mind here. If we say we have no sin, I mean, how can people make that claim? I mean, who do you know that can really honestly make that claim? Maybe they'd say, well, I had to steal. I had to. It wasn't wrong because I had to. Or they'd say, well, I had to lie. It wasn't that I wanted to lie, it's that I had to lie. Or they'd say, it wasn't gossip, it was sharing a prayer request. You know? They'd say, well, it wasn't cheating, it was hedging. Or we can deceive ourselves. The word deceive there comes from the Greek word planao, which probably helps you a ton. But, you know, the ancient Greeks would sit and look at the sky, and they'd notice that the stars pretty much stayed in their constellations. You know, the stars were pretty fixed. But every once in a while, they'd have these planaos that would go wandering around in the sky. From the Greek word planao, we get our word planet. You get these planets that would be wandering around. When we read, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That's the word planao. We lead ourselves astray. We go wandering off out of where we're supposed to be. It's kind of like when you have the light shining up here, which is God's truth, which is where we're supposed to stay. When we say we have no sin, we don't have any sin in us, we planao, or we wander out of the light. We wander away. We're deceiving ourselves. We're leading ourselves astray. It's lunacy to say we don't have any sin. So, what he's inviting us to do is confess our sins. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, when you think about confessing, the word confessing here, we don't want to think about just admitting. Remember, I used to work at Display Pack. And when I worked there, I used to listen to WTKG 1230 on my way into work. And Dave Ramsey would be on my way into work, and I'd listen to him. And then when I got out of work, it was really late at night because I wasn't able to start until 5:30, 5 o'clock, sometimes 6 o'clock. So when I get out of work, it'd be late at night. And I turn the car back on, the radio would already be on, and a guy by the name of Lionel would come on. And I don't know if you've probably never heard of Lionel, and I hope you haven't, but Lionel would come on, and he would just be blabbing. And sometimes he'd start talking about his past in a way that was bragging. Like, he'd talk about all his exploits and all this bad stuff he did, and he'd say, well, I'm not proud of it, but you could tell he was proud of it. Right? You know people like that. You could tell. That's not confessing. Saying, yeah, I got stuff in my past, and I'm not proud of it, but I got stuff. I got better stuff than you got stuff. That's not confessing. Confessing is saying, yes, I've got baggage. Yes, I've got sin. There's stuff I carry around that I hate. I never got the sense that Lionel hated it. There's stuff I'm carrying around that I hate, that I hate. And confessing, what John's saying here, if we confess our sin, it's taking our sin off and saying, I hate this. And then bringing it to God before the cross and saying, please, please forgive me of this. And take it away so I don't have to carry it anymore. I hate this. That's confession. Not admitting, it's confessing. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But forgiveness means that sin is like a debt that needs to be forgiven. I mean, if I ask you if you could pay off your mortgage tomorrow, most of us couldn't do it because our mortgage is a huge, huge debt. But our mortgage looks small compared to the debt we owe God from our sin. Think of what sin costs God as he sent Jesus to pay for our sin. Our debt is huge. Huge. And so when we confess our sins, our sin debt is canceled. It's kind of like sin being a debt is kind of like when I sin against you or I sin against my wife. Now, I can't earn my wife's forgiveness. Just like I can't earn your forgiveness. I can do, and you guys have been in relationships like this. You and I could do everything we can. We could do the dishes, we could make the bed, we could vacuum, we could do all the housework for 3 years. And if they want to withhold forgiveness, they can withhold forgiveness. Forgiveness is a gift that is given, not a paycheck that is received. You can't earn forgiveness. You can't make someone forgive you, just like you can't make someone reconcile with you. Forgiveness is a gift. And when we confess our sins, not admit our sins, but when we confess our sins and say, God, I hate this. Please take it away from me. He'll cancel our debt. He'll forgive us our sins. He'll give us that gift that we can't earn. He also says, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, again, I didn't want to use this illustration because it's just not good. I mean, we can't identify with a rag. You know, I insist on keeping this rag because I'm cheap. And, you know, my wife probably doesn't like this rag and probably would prefer we throw it away, but I'm cheap, and so I insist we keep this rag, and this rag is actually technically clean right now, though it is stained. And this rag used to be this rag. These are baptismal rags. We used this rag for a baptism a long time ago, and I didn't throw it away. I just brought it home and started using it. This is one that's waiting for someone to be baptized, okay? So this is one with lots of stains. This is one with no stains. Now, when you just look at this one, when I just look at this one, and I'm just using it around the house, I think, oh, it's pretty clean. It's okay. A few stains, but it's all right. And then I hold it up to this one, I think, wow, this one is clean. What God is inviting us to is to come and bring our sins that we're stained with, that we feel dirty over. He's offering to cleanse us and make us clean, to free us from that sin and free us from that guilt so that we can be clean and we don't have to feel dirty and filthy and carry it around with us anymore. So again, John is offering us two options here. He's offering us the self-deception option. I don't have any sin. I haven't done anything that bad. I don't need forgiveness. Or the confession option. God, these are the things that I've done. I hate these things. I need you to forgive me for these things. John sums it up here in the next verse, chapter 1, verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Let me tell you, you know, we can laugh and joke about it being as foolish as us trying to trick God, as Thor trying to trick and hide from us. We can laugh and joke about that, but it's a serious thing to make God out to be a liar. You know, when we say, I don't need to confess my sins anymore, I don't have any sin to confess. Making God out to be a liar. You really, really want to make God out to be a liar? You want to do that? This is serious. This is a huge indictment against God. This is saying, Jesus didn't need to come and die for my sins. I didn't need Jesus to die. I was fine without Jesus. Really? You really want to go there? John is saying you need to face your sins. You need to face your sins. And if you won't face your sins, you're making God out to be a liar. But he doesn't end there, because that wouldn't be good news. That would just be discouraging. It goes on to chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. I mean, the goal isn't to just keep coming back to forgiveness and for cleansing. The goal is to stay clean. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, propitiation there is a $5 word. $7 word, is that what I heard? It's a big word. Propitiation is an awfully big word. In the ancient world, they'd sacrifice to the gods. You know, so you'd have terrible crops one year, and they'd say, well, the gods must be mad at us. What we need to do is we need to propitiate the gods, and what that means is we need to bring this bull, and we need to sacrifice the bull, and the god's wrath would be poured out on the bull that we just sacrificed to. And so the god's wrath would be satisfied. And so, what commentators will say and what people will say is, well, Jesus is the sacrifice that absorbs God's wrath towards us for sinning. So God, as his wrath builds up and builds up against us because we've sinned, he pours out his wrath on Jesus, who absorbs and takes God's wrath upon himself. Now, another word for that is expiation. And what expiation is when the one who has the wrath offers the sacrifice himself so that his wrath can be absorbed. His wrath can be expelled. And so a lot of people will say expiation is a better word than propitiation, or a better translation of the Greek word here than propitiation, because expiation means God provided the sacrifice for himself. Not only was God mad, he was also loving. Not also was God holy, he was also kind. And so he provided himself, Jesus, as the sacrifice that would absorb his wrath toward us, because there was nothing we could do. So what John is saying is, he's saying you need to face your sin and confess your sin, otherwise you face the wrath of God all on your own. And if you're not willing to confess your sin, if you're not willing to face your sin, you're making God out to be a liar, and Jesus' sacrifice does nothing for you. So no matter how you want to word propitiation or expiation or however you want to say that, what it means is Jesus offers us forgiveness. Jesus took the punishment for our sin on himself on the cross. In order for us to receive the benefit from that, for us to come into a right relationship with God, for us to share in God and come into the fellowship, we come in through Jesus' sacrifice. That's the only way in. So I need to ask you, what do you need to confess? What do you need to face? What have you been putting off and denying for a long time? When I was in college, I had a big mole on my back that kept changing color. And this didn't bother me at all, really. But it bothered Cheyenne. She's like, it shouldn't keep changing color. And I wanted to just live in denial. I wanted to just keep denying it and pretend it wasn't there. And, you know, I was 20, and what can hurt you when you're 20, you know? I mean, so finally, through my wife's, I don't want to say nagging because that's too strong of a word. Yeah, loving persistence, right. I go into the doctor, and the doctor says, yeah, that could turn into cancer. We need to cut that out quick. I could live in denial, right? I mean, that's an option. Denial is an option, but so is cancer. I'm asking you, what do you need to face? What are you living in denial of? It might not hurt real bad right now, but it's going to get bad later on. What stains are there that you can maybe cover up and other people can't see? You can fool other. Of course you can fool me. You probably fool the people around you. Maybe you can even fool your loved ones. But you're not fooling God. What is it that you need to face? Like when you're in college and this thing you did in college still haunts you. What is it that you need to face and deal with? When you were in high school, maybe it goes all the way back to high school, and you still haven't dealt with that thing that you did in high school, what is it that you need to deal with? Or that thing, the way you treated your kids, 20 years ago or 30 years ago, and you still haven't dealt with it, what is it that you need to deal with? I don't know what it is you need to deal with. I mean, I'm not omniscient, but God is. And God knows what you need to deal with. And I'm asking you to face it so that you can confess it, so that your debt can be canceled and your sins can be washed and you can be clean. So what do you need to deal with? The next action step you can take here, besides making time to sit down and ask what do you need to deal with, is ask this question: how can we help each other stay in the light? Because you are probably watching all the red we's and us's all the way through there. They're all through there, and they're all throughout the book. And you'll notice that as you're reading 1 John. We invited each other to join us in reading one chapter a day, 5 days a week, focusing on one key word. And we ask you to write down what you're gleaning from that and pray about what you're gleaning from that. While you're reading that stuff, you'll see these we's over and over and over and over and over again. There's more we's in 1 John than there is in the book of Acts. There's more we's in 1 John than there is in the book of Luke or Matthew, in books that dwarf 1 John. Because John is all about community and loving each other and watching out and taking care of each other. That's why I had Titus and Ezra walk together, because I wanted Titus to help Ezra stay in the light. How can we help each other stay in the light, stay within God's truth? How can we help each other stay clean, stay out of the mud? Now, this is something for you to wrestle with as a community. Like, we go to communities right after we're done with this service. So how can you as a community help each other stay in the light? But it's also a question for you to ask, like, okay, and my roommate and I. How do my roommate and I help each other stay in the light? I remember a time when I was engaged. Man, that was a tough time. To stay pure and to do it the right way. I mean, so I got my roommate and I got my other buddy, my other training partner, and we prayed every Monday after the weekend. I told him how I did, and we prayed together because I needed help during that time, during that season of life. It was tough. How are you going to help each other stay in the right? Whether it's communities or your roommate, whether it's how do we help our kids stay in the light? I've got young kids that are just starting to understand things. Some of you have preteens. Some of you have high schoolers. How do we help them stay in the light? Might be something you could talk about during your community. How do we help these guys stay in the light? How are you going to help your spouse stay in the light? How can they help you stay in the light? What it comes down to is confess our sins. We need to face our sins. Then we need to join other people in the light as we fellowship with God. Let me ask you, what's the alternative to that? What's the alternative to staying in the light and confessing sins? And the alternative is continuing to carry it. The alternative to dealing with my mole was keeping my mole. The alternative to confessing our sins is keeping them a secret and thinking we can hide them from God. Do you really want to keep this a secret? Do you really want to keep this from God for another 20 years? Is that your preferred future? I mean, is that the way you want to spend the next 20 years running from God? What's the alternative? Just bring it into the light and confess it and deal with it. And then we have fellowship one with another. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for my friends, my brothers and sisters. Lord, this is a time when we make decisions. When we decide what we're going to do with what we just heard. Whether we're just going to kind of stick it in the back of our minds and try to forget about it. Whether we're going to do something. And Lord, I pray that we would have the courage to do something. We'd have the courage to come to you and confess our sins. That we come to one other person that we trust and confess that sin and join other people in the light and share in the light. And Lord, that we take responsibility for each other and help each other share in the light. Lord, I pray that you work in our lives and draw us towards yourself and towards each other into eternal life. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.